Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. I have a really important show for you today. In today's program, we're talking to a leading expert in family law about the legal, economic, and psychological issues surrounding divorce. Now, next to losing someone you love, divorce is one of the most traumatic of life's experiences. At the same time, it's the path out of a bad marriage and ideally for all parties to a happier, more fulfilling life. But it's not without its complications. So my guest today is Henry Gornbein. He has been a practicing attorney in Michigan for more than 45 years. He is a contributor and blogger for the Huffington Post divorce section, and he also produces regular podcasts for Divorce Source Radio. His book, Divorce Demystified, examines everything you need to know before filing for divorce. In addition, Henry has hosted and produced his own award-winning cable TV show called Practical Law with more than 700 programs aired to date. He is sought after as an expert on divorce-related topics by media outlets, and he is known for being at the forefront of understanding social media and its role in divorces today. So welcome to the program, Henry. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Terry, thank you so much for having me. I really look forward to sharing this program with you. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you. And before we get to the topic, I should tell listeners, Henry, that we have been colleagues for many years. I've appeared on your Practical Law TV program, and you graciously come every semester or every year to one of my university courses to speak on the legal aspects of divorce. So thank you so much for all of that.
Well, I love sharing with you, and I really enjoy speaking to your students because, you know, you get a lot of perspectives. You know, they're looking at things from a perspective where many of them are products of divorced families or they have relatives who've gone through a divorce. So, you know, it's very interesting talking to them, especially because many of them are going into help-related fields, social work, or other similar areas. So
yes,
I enjoy it.
Yes, and they always
lot.
Have great questions to ask you. Now, here's a question that I've actually never asked you, Henry. I don't know if you're originally from Detroit, Michigan, and did you always want to be a lawyer? So tell listeners, are you from Michigan originally?
Yeah, I grew up in Detroit.
Okay.
And my parents were both school teachers.
Oh, I didn't know that. And so what inspired you to become a lawyer then?
When I was growing up, I think my parents wanted me to become a dentist, and I thought I couldn't think of anything worse. I represent a lot of dentists in their divorces and their spouses, and it's a profession where you're on your feet all day and, you know, you're giving pain to someone who can't talk back. So it's not for me. And when I was growing up, I don't know, I always had the idea I wanted to be a lawyer, didn't have any ideas what type of law or didn't know much about it. And I had a close friend whose father was a lawyer, and I remember talking to him when I was in high school, and he just told me that he specialized in whatever his client wanted. And back then, it was an era where lawyers really didn't specialize that much. And if you fast forward to the present time, you have to be a specialist to survive. I mean, unless you're in a very small rural community, everyone has a specialty because things are so complicated. And it's a situation where...
So what inspired you to specialize in family law?
It's an interesting story. I was one of the clerks for the Wayne County Circuit Court when I was in law school. And then I worked for a couple of law firms for a short time. Then I went out on my own. And when you're on your own, you try to do a little of everything. I did some criminal law. I hated it. I found that I tried a couple cases, and I really didn't want to be keeping someone on the streets who was guilty. So it just, from my perspective, it wasn't an area that I wanted to be involved in.
Right.
And when I was starting out, the laws changed. Michigan in 1972 became one of the early states that changed from a fault-based divorce to what is called our no-fault divorce, which
I remember, yes. And it had such huge implications on divorce and custody and support issues.
Exactly. And then at the same time, we had the Child Custody Act, which went from what was known as a kind of a tender years presumption, or a presumption that in almost every divorce, mom would get custody, to the best interest of the child statute, which looked at 12 factors as to what is in the best interest of the child. So these changes were happening. I found it fascinating, started speaking on this area to a lot of psychological clinics and various social workers and psychologists. And it evolved so that more and more of my practice grew into that area until it became the sole focus of my career for almost my entire career.
And so what types of clients then do you work with now? All clients who are looking for divorce, or do you do prenups, other kinds of cases dealing with family?
It runs the gamut. I mean, I have a lot of cases where we're dealing with traditional divorces. We do a lot of custody cases because there are a lot of cases where people aren't married, but they have children. So we deal a lot with child custody cases. I also do prenups. I do postnups. I litigate on, sometimes there are issues, like today I was in court on an issue over whether or not child custody should be modified as far as overnights and whether or not child support should be modified. So these are issues. I'm involved. There are a lot of issues where people get a divorce, and that's just the beginning of the battle. And right now I'm involved in a case where we're fighting over where child should go to school, whether it should be in a public school or a parochial school. There are now two cases going on in Oakland County, which is one of the areas where I practice, where people are fighting over not whether children should be vaccinated. So you get into all these issues. People will fight over religious upbringing. They'll fight over medical treatment. They'll fight over schools, moving out of state. So it really runs the gamut. I've handled international custody cases. I've been involved in interstate custody cases. So it really runs the gamut.
I love it. Very interesting. You wake up every day and it's a totally different issue. Now, before we get to divorce and the topic, I just have to ask you one other personal question. I know that you're married, and I know listeners always think that, especially for divorce lawyers, that, you know, that comes home with you. So how do you not take all of that negativity and conflict that you deal with, you know, in court or with clients, not back to your own relationship, and have it not impact that at home?
You know, some days it's hard. I mean, every once in a while there will be a case where emotion doesn't go well, a trial doesn't go well, and it can be very, very upsetting. Or the problem in family law is that no one's happy. So at the end of the case, the client may say, well, what did you do for me? And they are very unhappy. So I try and help everyone. I look on family law as a good attorney, as someone who's a problem solver, trying to help people solve problems and not create other problems. And at the end of the day, in most cases, I come home, I unwind, I usually work out in the evenings, and, you know, my wife and I, we may read, we may watch television, we'll talk about things, and I think the key is, when you come home in a good marriage, communication is critical.
Right.
And, you know, having common interests and being able to talk about things. I mean, if there's something that frustrates me, I'll talk to my wife about it, and vice versa. So
That is very good. And, you know, being the love doctor, I talk about that all the time. Communication is key, and it's not just communication that involves, you know, the maintenance of the home and the kids and bills and, you know, parents, but it's really sharing personal thoughts and dreams and goals and stressors with your partner, which makes it a happy and healthy relationship. Well, I love that you take care of yourself, it sounds like, and you take care of your relationship as well. Now, what do you think listeners should look for if they're trying to find a good divorce lawyer? So what kinds of factors should they be thinking about?
You know, there are several factors, and, you know, I've written about it in my book, Divorce Demystified, and it's another issue that's going to be covered in a new book that I'm co-writing with a psychologist on child custody. And, you know, first of all, there's nothing wrong with looking someone up on the Internet. I mean, everyone is out there. There are rating systems. There are, you know, Google searches, and, you know, it's a starting point. But I think it's important, first of all, have a face-to-face meeting. And, you know, your visceral reaction, how someone communicates, whether you're comfortable or not, is important. And questions to ask, first of all, what percentage of your practice is family law? Have you tried cases? Do you know the judges? I mean, there's an old saying that a good lawyer knows the law and a great lawyer knows the judges. So knowing the lay of the land, knowing who the judges are, can be critical. I mean, I was in court this morning, and, you know, I walked into chambers and talked to the judge for a few minutes before things started. That doesn't mean she's going to favor me necessarily, but she's going to listen carefully to what I say because I know she respects me. So that's important. Other things.
Do you think years, by the way, of being a divorce lawyer, a family lawyer, is important?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. You know, you go to law school, but law school really doesn't teach you how to practice law. And I would argue it takes at least 10 years before you know what you're doing.
10 years? Wow. That's a long time, isn't it?
Well, to me, it seems like a short time, but, you know, to a young lawyer, it's probably a long time. But it's really knowing the law is one thing, but knowing the system, knowing the courts, knowing how people are, knowing the psychological makeup of people, knowing what works, doesn't work in a particular situation, takes years. And I found a lot of attorneys, especially a lot of young ones, they can be very, very aggressive. They go in with a scorched earth attitude, and it's not helping anyone. I mean, to me, a good lawyer is a problem solver. And until you understand problems, until you look for solutions, sometimes it takes years, and a lot of it is based upon life experience as well. It's like,
I like that. I really like that answer. You know, that's, you know, people come to me all the time and ask, you know, what are the kinds of things people should look for in a therapist? And I say many of the same things that you just said, and experience and how much their practice is devoted to couples and couples counseling are all very important factors in picking someone, and that you have to get comfortable with that person as well. Just like you're saying is true for a divorce lawyer, and that you should shop around too, and not even take the first person that you might talk to. So what do you tell people, Henry, when they come to you wanting a divorce? What are some of the kinds of things you say in that first meeting?
Well, what I'll do is, first of all, I like to get some background. Some attorneys will have someone fill out a form before they meet. I do the other way. I literally like to talk to someone face-to-face and get the information, because as I'm getting information, I'm sizing the client up, they're sizing me up, and you're getting a feel for each other. So I'm going to ask a series of questions such as, you know, tell me about how old are you? What is your educational background? What type of work do you do? When were you married? How many children do you have? And I'll get a financial picture as to assets and liabilities. Then once I have kind of a background scenario, I'll ask something that I call, now this is the toughest question. Why are you here? Are you sure that you want a divorce? And what are your reasons?
Right.
Because even though divorce is, quote, no fault, and the law in Michigan and many states is that there's just been a breakdown of the marital relationship and you can no longer live together and you want out, every case is different. There's always a backstory. There's always a reason. So I'm going to want to know, why do you want it? Or if you're not sure, what about counseling? And I advocate therapy for three reasons. The first reason, to see if a marriage can be salvaged. And I have a lot of clients who come to me, sometimes even in the middle of a hotly contested divorce, and by getting them into counseling, I've had a lot of people who've dropped the divorce and reconciled.
Good. I like that, by the way, that even as a divorce lawyer, that you advocate counseling and that it's okay even if they stop, right?
Right. I mean, the idea is, you know, we're in helping professions. You're in a helping profession as a love doctor. I'm in a helping profession as an attorney. And I'm trying to help people navigate through one of the most traumatic times in their lives. So counseling is important for three reasons. First reason, to see if the marriage can be salvaged. Second reason, as you're building a support system, as you go through the process of the divorce, you need support from a therapist. Family and close friends can be a support system, but you need a support system. And third and final, so you don't keep making the same mistake again. And as I told your classes, during my career, I've represented two women who, at the time that I represented them, they were each 36 years of age, and I handled each one's sixth divorce, with one coming back to me later for divorce number seven.
Wow.
So that's why therapy and counseling can be so important, so you don't keep making the same mistake again and again and again.
And just to say to listeners as well, because I say this all the time, just like you're saying, is that that is one of the goals of counseling, so that you can recognize and identify those patterns and you don't pick the same person again and again. So, I mean, you say it as a divorce lawyer, I say it as a therapist as well. Now, I know there's one chapter in your book, Henry, that's called The Team Approach to Divorce. Now, what do you mean by that team approach to divorce? Is it that you need that network and that therapist to help you through this process? Is that what you're talking about?
That, but much more. First of all, in my office, we have a team in representing clients. So I have myself, I'm the head of the family law unit of our law firm. That's number one.
Right.
I have an associate attorney who does a lot of court work and works with me. I have a paralegal who does a lot of the day-to-day work on cases with me overseeing everything. And then we have a legal assistant. So there's a team in the office working on every file. And this gives, again, we consult with each other. We go back and forth. So there's a lot of minds, a lot of hands, so to speak, helping you. And by the team, I mean, in many divorces, there's a therapist. Sometimes to save the marriage, sometimes as a support system, sometimes working with the children over custodial issues, over issues where the children are hurting and need someone to speak to in therapy. We often have mediators. These can be attorneys. They're usually attorneys, sometimes a therapist, but we work with mediators on many cases. I'm a certified mediator. In fact, this afternoon I have a couple coming to me to see about possibly mediating their divorce. In many cases, we're using financial planners. We often bring in realtors because a house may be sold or purchased.
So there are a lot of people in the community and out there that are helping this person with you, so to speak, as the divorce lawyer.
Exactly. I mean, in many cases where we're dealing with a business or a professional practice, we'll bring in forensic accountants so we can put numbers on these things.
Right.
And so
there are lots of people and resources as well. I like that idea, the team approach. I mean, it's like, you know, you need a village to raise a child. You need a team to get divorced.
Exactly.
And now, why do some couples weather the divorce process relatively smoothly and simply, and other couples get caught in proceedings and cycles of court appearances and things like that? Are there things that you found that differentiate these two groups of couples?
You know, it's a psychological aspect. You know, I in my book, I write about four aspects of divorce. The first aspect is the legal aspect, where a judge is pronouncing a divorce. Second is the psychological, and the psychological aspect is the fact that everyone's a little different, and everyone has different reasons for a divorce. And if you have a couple who come to me saying, we've just grown apart, or we have different ideas and really don't want to spend any more time together, and they're on the same page, simple divorce. Mm-hmm. You're going to get through the economic, the legal issues with very little court time with very little back and forth. If you have one party who's left behind and is not ready, and the other party has moved on, either because there's another relationship or maybe there's just someone who's just has had it where the other person is still saying, I'm not ready, I don't believe in divorce, then you're going to have a little bit of fireworks.
Right.
And the worst case is what I call the never-ending divorce. And the never-ending divorce is a situation where one or both parties are unable to let go. There's such hatred, or there's such, let's call it, there's such dysfunction in the family, there's so many psychological problems, that what they do, they can't let go. So what do? They fight for the court over every little issue. And these are the cases that I call the never-ending divorce.
Wow, and that's so hard on not only the parents, but the children if they're there as well.
Well, the kids are often the focus of the fights, and they're the innocent victims. They're the in the middle of the war, and the people will be fighting over custody. They'll be fighting over schooling, over medical and psychological treatment. So you get into all these issues, and they fight year after year after year, and I'll tell
year
people.
After year. And you know what? I mean, what you said, Henry, is so relevant, that if one person is hurt or feels betrayed or doesn't want the divorce, doesn't believe in divorce, that just continues and continues. Now, you know, I've heard, by the way, because we're almost at the holidays, that January is the busiest month for new divorces. Is that correct?
Yes.
And why is that, do you think, as a divorce lawyer?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. First of all, holidays, even though people have an ideal version, they're really stressful. And you have situations where you have family get-togethers, you have people flying in from all over the country to be with family. And there's this ideal, as I often say, it's the Currier and Ives, the perfect holiday with chestnuts roasting by an open fire, the perfect Christmas tree, all the decorations. But that's not the reality. The reality is sometimes you're with relatives that you can't stand. You may be with a mother-in-law or father-in-law that you can't stand, or sister-in-laws, brother-in-laws, and you're all together and you're not happy. Also, holidays, it's like we're going into the winter season. There's a lot of depression. And it's like often people will have one drink too many in office, Christmas party, or even a family Christmas party, or maybe someone will make a pass at someone or do something that's sexually inappropriate, or you have this situation that it's like the end of the year, and it's often a reckoning. You've added up the year, and you're saying, maybe I don't want to be with this husband or this wife anymore.
And then we get to January, and you have to make resolutions as well. So that all of that thinking, very interesting. I love those comments. Now, we only have 1 minute left. Do you want to tell listeners about your book and where they can find Divorce Demystified, Henry?
You know, Divorce Demystified is available on Amazon as a soft cover or ebook. It's also available at MomentumBooks.com. That's MomentumBooks.com books.com. And, you know, I enjoy writing. I try and write a lot, and I'm working on another book that's going to look at child custody from legal and psychological perspectives that should be coming out hopefully by the middle of this coming year. So,
that's great.
You know, I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. And Terry, I really thank you for the opportunity to share my views with you on your wonderful show.
Oh, thank you, Henry. And listeners, I really like Divorce Demystified. It's a great resource, great information, Henry. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And I always love talking to you. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Henry Gornbein and his new book, Divorce Demystified, go to divorcedemystifiedbook.com. You can also connect with Henry on Facebook at Henry Gornbein, G-O-R-N-B-E-I-N. And as always, Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand. Also, I have a video online course that's called How to Find Love in 7 Days. So if you're interested in finding the right person for you, check it out on my website under courses. So until next time, listeners, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.